Their producer is Althea Billings, and our engineer is Otto. Special thanks to Isabel Charlet, Edwin J. Vieira, Antonia Gonzalez, Freda Ross, and Dr. Anthony Lizowitz. The director of the evening news is Althea Billings. A podcast of this newscast is available on our website at kboo.fm/eveningnews. You are listening to KBOO Portland on 90.7 FM, K282BH Philomath on 104.3 FM, and K220HR Hood River on 91.9 FM. I'm Josh Salem. All of our KBOO programs, including the evening news, are supported by our members. If you would like to become a member and support our programming, you can go to kboo.fm/give or text KBOO to 44321. Stay tuned now for KBOO's News in Depth. We'll be speaking with John DeVoe from Water Watch of Oregon about data centers and how they impact waterways.
KBOO News in Depth, where we take a deeper look at the top news stories impacting our community.
HR 655, a bill currently under consideration, would transfer 150 acres of federal public land from the Mount Hood National Forest to the city of the Dalles, where Google operates a data center campus that uses a third of the city's water supply. As reported by OPB, the water will seemingly go to the tech giant, despite the city's denial. I spoke with John DeVoe of Water Watch, a nonprofit actively opposing the bill, about this issue. Here's what he had to say.
Hi, I'm John DeVoe. I'm a senior advisor with Water Watch of Oregon. For 35 years, I was a lawyer in Oregon. I practice environmental law, water law. I've helped clean up hazardous substance contaminated sites, pursued insurance coverage for those cleanups. And then I moved to the nonprofit side in 2003 and became the executive director of Water Watch of Oregon. Water Watch's mission is to protect and restore stream flows in Oregon's rivers for native fish, wildlife, and people who depend on healthy rivers. At Water Watch, over the last 2+ decades, I think it's safe to say that the organization has been involved in every major water allocation and management decision in the state, whether working on legislation, whether dealing with the agencies that oversee water. I'm an angler. I love rivers. I use rivers in Oregon. I float rivers. I hike beside rivers. I birdwatch on rivers. I fish on rivers. And water, to me, has always just been sort of a miraculous thing in the universe. I mean, it's the reason we exist on this planet. And I'm not aware that in its liquid state, it exists really in many other places. And so I've always been fascinated by water and the weather that generates water and the species that depend on water and then how society makes use of water. Apparently in Oregon, there are between 121 and 131 data centers currently in 2026. So it's kind of crept up on us, I think. These companies have been building them and siting them and localities have been approving them and they're being built, but we don't really have an overarching sense of where we want to go with these things as a society.
Now, the tech company already has 3 data centers in the Dalles, and with this agreement, Google has been given the okay to build 2 more centers in the city.
I think they end up in a place like the Dalles because, one, there's a lot of electricity in the Pacific Northwest. These data centers consume huge amounts of electricity. And so they often locate in places that are energy rich, so to speak. Another consideration is water. And I don't think these data centers located in the Dalles because the Dalles is necessarily a water rich area. It's not. It's a water scarce area. and especially if you factor in the needs of salmon in the Columbia River and in the tributary streams as well. And I think, you know, there's been research done, there's some academic papers written that about 20% plus or minus of the data centers that are being located in the United States are actually being located in water scarce areas. And the Dalles is no exception to that.
Forget it, Jake, it's Chinatown.
Google, it's a $4+ trillion corporation. It can afford the best and the brightest. These companies are out on the landscape looking for perhaps stranded assets. And they identify a city like the Dalles, and you know, they find that, oh, well, there was a smelter here that used to use a lot of groundwater that's not there anymore. So what happened to those water rights? They've done the same thing out in the Umatilla area where Amazon has come in and put a bunch of data centers out there. And they've identified perhaps some underdeveloped water rights that potentially make these locations more attractive to them because they can't get new water rights right now. These basins are all overallocated. So they're kind of exploiting underdeveloped water rights that maybe are still out there. Some of them probably should not be. For example, I don't know that anyone's done a hard review of the smelter water rights that are being used by Google in the Dalles. The area around the Dalles was one of the first designated groundwater limited areas in Oregon. And that was because the smelter had groundwater rights there that it was using quite heavily. And the levels of the aquifer in the region were declining. And they declined quite a bit as a result of the smelter use. They only began to stabilize after the smelter went offline and those rights stopped being used. Now, the city and Google intend to keep using those water rights at the same level. About 80 to 85% of the Dalles water comes from the Hood River Basin, which is actually over a small divide. It's the river that flows through Hood River, Oregon. And there's a stream that is a tributary to the Hood River called the Dog River. And the Dalles has a pipeline up high in the Dog watershed. And that pipeline allows water to be taken out of the Hood River Basin and transferred over to the South Fork of Mill Creek in a different basin. Then that water flows down into a reservoir that the Dalles has an interest in. And then the Dalles makes use of that water out of the reservoir. My understanding is Google is a customer of the Dalles and gets its water for the data centers through the Dalles municipal supply, largely, if not completely. I think that's one reason Google thinks this is an attractive situation, because they can be a customer of the Dalles and they're just a water customer. They don't have to deal with the water rights necessarily, or, you know, restrictions on use that might accompany the water rights. And they also step into the shoes of this municipal water provider. And municipal water providers get all sorts of consideration under the law because they provide drinking water. So they've never been heavily regulated in a lot of ways. They've been given sort of benefits in the water law that other water users don't get. And also Google received over $260 million in tax giveaways for locating there. And so, you know, that's a lot of money to not have to pay in taxes.
If you have a milkshake, and I have a milkshake, and I have a straw, there it is. That's a straw, you see. Watching. My straw reaches across the room and starts to drink your milkshake. I drink your milkshake.
The Dalles, for about a century, had a wooden stave pipeline that came out of the Dog River and went over to the South Fork of Mill Creek. And that pipeline is on U.S. Forest Service land. The Dalles had never fully used that pipeline. They'd only moved maybe 12 plus or minus cubic feet per second out of the Dog and into the South Fork of Mill Creek. So in the early 2020s, the Dalles came into the Forest Service. They had to renew a special use permit. They had to get a new permit, and they said, we're gonna put a new pipeline in here to replace the old one. For whatever reason, and I suspect but do not know, that the data centers, Google's presence was somewhat behind this decision, because Google was involved in this proceeding under a surrogate name or a proxy name of Design LLC. We got involved in that proceeding. Our concern was, with the new pipeline, they would not be constrained on how much water they took out of the Dog River. They could take it all the way up to about 24, 25 cubic feet per second, because there would be a new pipeline, and then the technology could handle that amount of water. We objected on that basis and other bases to the Forest Service in the special use permit proceeding. The Forest Service said, don't worry about it. The receiving reservoir on the South Fork of Mill Creek is of such a size that they can never divert much more than they've been diverting historically. So that's a limiting factor on how much water they can take out of the Dog River. You don't need to worry about that. Your concerns are speculative. That's what the Forest Service basically said. Well, fast forward a few short years, and now Representative Bentz has gotten a bill through the House of Representatives, H.R. 655, which would give 150 acres of Mount Hood National Forest around the reservoir to the Dalles, and then they could triple the size of the reservoir, which in turn would allow them to fully utilize the pipeline and start diverting almost all the water from the Dog River, you know, as they see fit. So in effect, this legislation that is now in Senator Wyden's committee in the Senate would enable the Dalles to double the amount of water it takes out of the Hood River Basin via the Dog River and put it in a newly expanded reservoir and then service, we believe, the data centers in the Dalles. Now, the Dalles is saying, well, we have an industrial customer that needs more water. They aren't identifying who that is, but personally, I don't know of another major industrial customer in the Dalles that is driving water demand the way the data centers are at Google. It's a little like the Wizard of Oz. Don't look.
Pay no attention to that man behind the curtain.
We see it as a major issue for the Hood River Basin because there are five Endangered Species Act listed salmon and steelhead runs that use the Hood River, the East Fork of the Hood River, and those fish also get into the Dog. The US EPA has identified the Hood River as a very significant cold water refuge for migratory fish in the Columbia River. And you have to understand the way salmon get up the Columbia now. Water temperatures in the Columbia during parts of the migration season are too warm for those fish. And so now they play hopscotch between cold water refuge to cold water refuge to cold water refuge. And that's really the way they get up the river now. And so the position of this coalition that I'm involved in is that if you're taking water out of the Dog River, then this is a snowmelt fed system, the Dog, you're also taking water out of this cold water refuge for salmon on the Columbia and the Hood River. And so that's an impact that Google is not addressing or accounting for. The Dalles is not addressing or accounting for that. I think Google said, well, we're going to plant some trees. Well, that's all nice and good, but it really does nothing to address temperature impacts to the Dog River, temperature impacts to the Hood River that can affect those ESA-listed salmon. Now, the other side of that is, if you take the reservoir out of federal ownership and you put it into municipal ownership, it would remove oversight. There will no longer be any review opportunity for the public, for tribes, for environmental groups, for conservation groups, for fish and wildlife people to come in and say, hey, wait a minute, you're causing a lot of damage here. The conditions of your use here ought to be structured so that you don't harm these fish and you make sure that doesn't happen. Or there should be some mitigation measure. You should leave so much water in the stream, or you should purchase water. You know, Google's a multi-trillion dollar company. They could purchase water from agriculture or from another source and leave it in stream to offset their impact. But they, you know, apparently they think planting trees is enough. That's one of the problems with data centers generally, is they say, well, we, you know, in some places we're actually increasing the availability of water because we put our cooling water into irrigation district canals. Well, it has nothing to do with those source waters where the water is initially taken out of an aquifer or a stream. And those impacts at the source waters are not being addressed. And if you just give the water away to agriculture after it cools your servers, you're just creating more demand, which is not solving the problem. It's just putting more acres in production, which causes more water to be drawn, and it does nothing to address those source waters. That's been happening out in the Hermiston-Umatilla region for some time with data centers there. And it's a major issue across the country. If they want to mitigate for their water impacts, they need to mitigate at the source.
Hi, I'm Ben Townsend. I lead infrastructure strategy and sustainability here at Google. Google's helping foster a new era of technological progress, and we are committed to doing so responsibly. In 2021, we announced our water stewardship strategy. First, to advance responsible water use across our operations. And second, to replenish more fresh water than we consume and support watershed health where we operate.
As far as the Dog River and the water coming out of the Hood River Basin, I'm not aware of any effort or any water actually going back in stream to mitigate the impact of taking that water out of that stream. There are technologies to cool servers that don't involve the use of water, and they're just more expensive. They may be more power hungry, and Google will say, well, so we'd be emitting more carbon if we use that technology. But, you know, I don't know how you... Are we going to sacrifice rivers so that we consume marginally less carbon over here? I don't know how you make that calculation. I don't know if that's a good deal or not. Nobody has shown me how that would work and how you make those trade-offs. And that's the problem with this out-of-kind mitigation, where it's like, we're taking water here, but we're planting trees over there. It just, you know, show me the science that says this offsets the impact. I don't think it exists.
You may be aware, Oregon Public Broadcasting, or OPB, recently published an article that unfortunately contains several incorrect claims, presented false insinuations regarding matters related to Google and the city's water supply plans. In response to those inaccuracies, I took it upon myself to write a letter to the CEO of OPB. In that letter, I expressed my concerns about the article and the ways in which it misrepresented.
I thought OPB did a bang up job of refuting, I mean, totally refuting any of the objections to the coverage that the mayor or the city council brought forward. And you can read the follow up article. And it was, in my opinion, a masterful job of just, destroying any arguments that the city or the city council brought up. I mean, look, Google has not been transparent. And Mike Rogaway, the Oregonian, sent a public records request to the city of the Dalles to learn about Google's water consumption out there in the early 2020s. And the city litigated against the public records request in the state courts, financed by Google, initially denying that Google was financing their resistance to that public records litigation. And they got past the election of the city council. And then they settled the case, and then they admitted that fees had been paid by Google. In this special use permit proceeding on the pipeline from the Dog River, the entity that was involved in there was called Design LLC. It was, you know, a company that was doing something on Google's behalf, I assume. So they haven't been real transparent. They've been secretive. They claimed that their water use was a trade secret. My understanding, based on the response of other data centers, is, look, there's no trade secret involved in how much water a facility is using. And in fact, these municipalities that are providing the water need to know that so they can plan accordingly. It shouldn't be secret from the public. It shouldn't be secret from the ratepayers who are paying for the capital improvements to deliver this water in part. I mean, it should be public knowledge, and especially in a place like Oregon, where people are used to understanding a little bit about what their government's up to. I think we have a skepticism of the sorts of sweetheart deals that some of these companies get. Look, I don't think Google respects my privacy. I think they want to know as much as they can about me so they can sell advertisers my data. That's how they make a lot of money. But then when it comes to them, oh no, you can't know about me. Yeah, transparency is not a forte of Google and many of these other companies. And the public's going to need information to be able to make decisions about things like, where do we invest in electrical infrastructure if these things are going to be here? How do we do capital projects for water infrastructure if these things are going to be here? Are we just going to take their word for it? Who's going to pay for this? How much are they putting in? How much are we putting in? The Dalles' own documents suggest that their rates for water users in the Dalles will increase by 99% in the next decade. People have a right to know because they're paying the freight for a lot of these things. And Google has certainly participated in paying for capital improvements to the Dalles water system. But at the end of the day, I think they're coming out way ahead on the deal, especially after you factor in the tax breaks they got. And you know, I'm no big business person, but I can tell you one thing. If you gave me $260 million, I could create more than 200 jobs, 200 permanent jobs. I think the public is not getting a very good deal on that front.
But it's not just helping users with tasks, it's increasingly completing them. The AI models, which can reason and make decisions.
So it's a question mark about a handful new big breakthroughs needed in order to get to all the way to AGI, or will scaling up the existing techniques be enough? And we're doing
both. Secretary Hegseth criticized AI models that, quote, won't allow you to fight wars.
Employees at Amazon, Microsoft, and Google have expressed concern over their company's relationship with Immigration and Customs Enforcement.
Well, this is yet another example of technology advancing at an exponential rate where our policies kind of advance at an incremental rate.
To the extent these data centers are supporting AI developments, I mean, are we just careening down that road? Are there no side rails on that development? It doesn't seem like it. At least I'm not aware of them. And, you know, it seems like we as a society ought to have a bigger discussion about before we just rush into this. I mean, in terms of power consumption, these data centers are going to put huge demands on the power grid, both locally and nationally. And, you know, I mean, there's so much happening so quickly, it's really not possible to plan. Are they going to double the power demand? Are they going to triple the power demand? You know, data from 3 years ago just isn't that relevant anymore because things change so quickly. It's insidious. If you search on your phone, the first results you get are going to be AI results. I didn't ask for that, and I don't really want it. I would try and avoid it if I could. I mean, my understanding is it takes about half a liter of water for AI to deal with a request for information, every single one. And I mean, that adds up. If everybody's out there asking for something on their phone, it turns into a lot of water. And I think one thing people don't think about with data centers and water consumption is it takes a lot of water to generate the energy that these places use. Probably 75% of the water associated with a data center is an indirect water use that's associated with the power generation, the electricity that these places consume, whether it's hydropower, whether it's natural gas generation. It's not just the cooling of the servers themselves, it's getting the energy to the place so that the servers can run, and all the water that's involved in doing that. People are talking about cooling water for the servers, but the bulk of the water is consumed to generate the energy that the data center then uses. All the streams, all the tributary streams to the Columbia are over-allocated already. The EPA study on cold water refuges that included the Hood River said the Hood River is already over-allocated by like 140 to 200% in the dry season. So it's not necessarily the amount of water that they're using to cool the servers. It's the fact that they are an additive demand on top of an already oversubscribed system, which has done a really poor job of meeting the needs of fish and wildlife and maintaining healthy rivers and stable aquifer levels. And those are important too because they feed healthy rivers. You don't want declining aquifers because they then disconnect from the groundwater dependent ecosystems that they support. And that's happening in the Malheur, that's happening in the Umatilla, that's happening in a lot of places in Oregon and across the West where we suck out a lot of groundwater and then suddenly we lose the wetland that was connected to it, or we lose the cold water input to the river that's connected to it. And you have to understand that fish and wildlife, rivers, came last in the system. First, the white settlers arrived. Then they started agriculture. Then they started irrigating. Then they set up a system to prioritize water rights to ag and municipalities and industry. Well, fish and wildlife weren't, and rivers weren't part of that equation. And so all the water was given away to agriculture, cities, industry, especially in the dry season. And now you have these new demands coming in and sitting on top of this system that already didn't consider fish and wildlife very well. I mean, fish and wildlife weren't part of the equation until the mid-1980s, really, in Oregon, when you could actually get a water right for an in-stream flow. But that came so late in the system of priority that those rights are not often satisfied, and certainly not in the dry season when the demand is highest. There are very few basins in the West that actually have water left to give in the dry season. With declining snowpack in the Cascades, there's going to be less water in these tributary streams. There's going to be less water in the Columbia, potentially. It's probably going to be warmer, and so it's going to be harder for salmon, steelhead, cold water species to make a go of it. And that affects people. It affects people's jobs. It affects cultures. It affects recreation. It affects people's quality of life. People can call or write Senator Wyden and say, I am opposed to this land giveaway in the Mount Hood National Forest, which is going to enable the Dalles to pull more water out of the Hood River Basin. And I think we all have a pretty good idea where that water's going. It's going probably a substantial part of it to data centers. And it's probably going to have an impact on fish and wildlife in the Hood River Basin and potentially in the Columbia as well. They can pay attention to this data center committee that the governor has set up. And then there are legislative efforts. There's one in Washington that is moving. My understanding is it would have some effect of segregating the capital costs of electrical infrastructure associated with data centers and put that cost on the data center companies rather than on the customers of electrical companies. People can talk to the Oregon League of Conservation Voters, the Oregon Conservation Network about those sorts of measures and how we could do better in Oregon. But yeah, the main thing right now is to contact Senator Wyden, tell him and his staff that you oppose H.R. 655 for whatever reasons you have.
That was KBOO reporter Rachel Garcia speaking with John DeVoe from Water Watch of Oregon. You've been listening to KBOO News In Depth. Thanks for being with us. Transpositive PDX is next.
This is Ramona Africa, and you're listening to KBOO, KBOO 90.7 on your dial. KBOO is the exact example of the community taking charge of itself. On the move.
listening to KBOO Portland.
Coming Monday, March 16th at 11 p.m., Gremlin Time presents a suspense double feature.
You're alone and unarmed in the green hell of a Caribbean jungle. You're being trailed by a mad hunter who believes that you